Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron. And tonight we're talking Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. How are you, Corey?
I'm all right. The 13-point win for the Celtics was a lot farther away than the score shows.
Yeah, like you said, you know, the Celtics pretty much dominated this game. They won Game 5, 96-83. And they were in control pretty much from the first quarter, like we were talking about pre-show. 32-19 lead after the first, and they never really looked back at that point.
No, they didn't. We saw Jaylen Brown show up. Terry Rozier was – I mean, he was effective early for a little bit. But, you know, even with a poor shootout from Rozier, Marcus Smart was hitting jump shots, you know, 55% from Marcus Smart. Home Cook and Shirley was fell. We mentioned this on the last recap for the Celtics, and how Marcus Smart, you know, shoots so badly but makes a positive impact. Well, tonight he had a positive impact defensively, and he still was able to score offensively.
In a big game from the Rook.
Yeah, and Jason Tatum, boy, oh boy, did you say it. You know, 4 steals, 2 blocks, did a little bit of everything. And offensively, you know, the Jimmy was smooth tonight.
Yeah, he looked a lot smoother offensively, defensively, a lot more confident. And the Cleveland side, to be honest, you know, there's no other way to put it. They just sucked. Like, they just weren't very good in many facets of the game. They just didn't have the same energy we saw in Cleveland. They weren't making shots. J.R. Smith was terrible. You know, he was talking smack before the game. I believe somebody asked him. He loves hitting threes on the road to silence the crowd. Well, J.R., you were 0-4 tonight on wide-open looks.
Yeah, one of the last ones, too, he was wide open in the corner on a 5-on-4 Cavalier advantage and a possession they definitely could have used, and he clanked it. Obviously, he was terrible.
And just in general, I mean, the Cavs are terrible from 3, 9-34. I want to say in the fourth quarter, they had a good opportunity to go on a run. I think they got the Celtics lead down to 12. Jordan Clarkson had 2 wide-open threes, missed both of those. It was just, you know, LeBron wasn't amazing tonight. He was a little bit off, and the other Cavs couldn't step up.
You know, LeBron had a very interesting 26-10-5. Looked tired, hands on his hips a lot. Very sloppy with the basketball. I think he finished with 6 turnovers. Some of them were just really careless, too. Down on himself, it looked like at times. Kevin Love, as we mentioned pre-show, was really aggressive in the first quarter, and then the offense stopped coming to him, kind of, and he fell out of rhythm. And then, as you mentioned, you can go from top to bottom. Tristan Thompson had little to no energy impact. J.R. Smith, as we mentioned, couldn't hit a shot. George Hill wasn't aggressive. Looked very bad in the pick and roll. Jeff Green had some moments. Jordan Clarkson had some moments. Larry Nance Jr. had a brief stretch. Kyle Korver didn't play basically at all tonight, which doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, it was a very bad showing for the Cavs, who looked like they were about to take over this series after 2 convincing wins at home.
Yeah, it's just they didn't carry any of that momentum. They didn't show up. The Celtics had more energy. They played more physical. They played smarter. And like you said, getting back to LeBron, you know, obviously a little bit fatigued. Early in that third quarter, he had a couple opportunities to throw down big dunks, went for the lands, end up missing that. You know, he was 11 of 22 from the field. He easily could have been 16 of 22 because he missed plenty of easy shots. And the 6 turnovers, like you said, you know, a lot of terrible turnovers. I would say at least 4 of them were just terrible. They were just like preseason turnovers.
The one to Jeff Green, who was driving right through the paint, you know, that's a touch pass, and he threw a little bit too hard. I mean, Jeff Green probably should have had it still. But, yeah, like you said, just not characteristic LeBron James tonight.
And I'll say this, even a lot of the passes LeBron did make, they weren't pinpoint accurate, and that's not something we usually see. I believe there was a pass to Kyle Korver at the top of the key. He threw the pass a little low, and Korver missed the shot. You know, obviously, he can't be perfect all the time, but there was just a couple plays where LeBron was definitely off, not 100% on his game. And like you said, Love started off hot in the first quarter, had the 10 points, got the 2 fouls, got taken out, and then from that point on, he just pretty much disappeared from the game.
Yeah, and you know, it helped keep them in the game in the first half. Just turnovers obviously were an issue all game for them. They ended up losing the turnover battle 15-8. Again, the Celtics have been fantastic at creating turnovers and really just executing on the Cavaliers' miscues. On the night where the Celtics didn't even shoot well, and that's another thing. You know, the Celtics had that really hot, you know, opening stretch. But, you know, if you look at the rest of the game, there wasn't a lot of offensive consistency. They ended up shooting just 36% from the field for the game. Obviously, they shot 39 threes and got 13 of them to fall for 33%. So that obviously helped their chances. But this was not a night the Celtics had a lot of offensive rhythm, and they were still able to win, which I think for them is a huge plus.
Yeah, and it did help. The Cavs were just bad. You know, the Cavs didn't even score 25 points in any quarter tonight. 19, 23, 18, 23. And like you said, the Celtics had the big first quarter, 32, and then 21, 23, 20. Like, if the Cavs are knocking down shots and their offense was running smooth, obviously the Celtics picked up their defense, but it just felt like the Cavs just didn't bring it tonight.
Nope, they looked gassed.
Yeah, and almost like they didn't have the full, like, the fight in, you know, and it's not like they played really, you know, it was two blowouts in Cleveland. It's not like they were playing close games down to the wire, playing big minutes. I'm not really sure why they were so fatigued or not mentally engaged.
Yeah, it's concerning.
Game really 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, like, come on.
Especially for the role play. I mean, LeBron James, you know, if he's out of gas, I mean, he's out of gas.
It's earned.
I wouldn't, remember what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to hold anything LeBron James does against him. He's done everything he can to this point. You know, the only reason the Cavaliers are sitting down 3-2 in this series is because of LeBron James. And they're only here because of him in general. So if he's gassed, he is human. He is in his 15th season. He is 33. I don't think he's gassed. I do think we're going to see a big Game 6 performance from him. But I would not be, you know, holding it against him if that was the case.
Yeah, and before we continue, just a congrats on your prediction. I know you predicted a series to go 3-2 at one point and the Cavs being down. So I know you're pretty hype about that. And also, just a quick reminder before we continue, you can listen to all of our recaps and breakdowns on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, and Google Play. But who is the best Celtics player tonight?
It's got to be Jason Tatum. He set the tone defensively by being really active, and then offensively, especially in that first half. That little post fade he has is just beautiful. His mid-range is extremely good. So for me, it's got to be Jason Tatum, especially after having a few very bad games where everybody was saying that Kobe Bryant cursed him, dude, after the detail stuff.
It looks like Kobe's cursed a lot of players.
Yeah, right? At least this curse has ended, so it seems.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with Jason Tatum as well. He just, like you said, defensively getting some steals, some easy transition buckets. Then offensively, he looked a lot more confident. For a rookie, his pull-up game is very polished.
For sure. I mean, and he shoots it with such confidence too, that you just don't see.
And also, shout out to Marcus Smart, like you mentioned before. You know, 5-9 from the field, 3-6 from three. Obviously, always bring energy and effort on the floor. And Marcus Morris, you know, he knocked down a couple shots early in the first half, which kind of got them going. Obviously, he also was like taunting Larry Nance, and always that brings some energy to the game.
Yeah, that little pushing match was comical. Obviously, Larry Nance was upset, probably by him, you know, obviously staring above him and taunting him.
I would honestly do the same thing, so I'm not even mad at Larry Nance. Like, if somebody fouled me and knocked me to down on an alley-oop, that everyone freaked out when, you know, I'm not saying it was the same player as J.R. Smith and Al Horford, but he did bump him in the back when he was in the air and he fell to the ground, and then he sits over and taunting him. Like, bro, he could have been seriously hurt, and Marcus Morris has just been pretty much talking shit all series. So if I'm a Cavs player, I'm pretty happy Larry Nance did that.
Yeah, you know, yelling at Tristan Thompson's face. Marcus Morris has definitely got a target on his back.
And it's kind of like, we've talked about this, I want to say, earlier in the postseason, earlier in the regular season. Like, we haven't seen a lot of team unity from the Cavs except when they're winning. It's like moments like this where you want to see guys kind of do that type of thing. We don't want fighting, but, you know, step up for your teammates, get involved, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I really didn't see that many guys jump to his aid, though. Did you?
No, that's what I mean. But, you know, I think any type of aggression – I mean, Terry Rozier jumped to Marcus Morris's aid real quick and shoved Nance.
Yeah, I mean that's a team.
Yeah, and I think that talks a lot about the series in general.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. And even tonight I noticed that, you know, when the Cavaliers are missing shots, you know, everyone –
they hate each other.
Oh, my God, the body language is terrible. You know, guys, you know, some – I can't remember who. I think it was Jordan Clarkson in that fourth quarter. Also, let's just take note, why is he wearing blue shoes that don't go with the uniform?
I want to say he's done that before in the series as well.
Yeah, he has. It's a recurring thing for him, which for whatever reason needs to stop. But he took some threes in the fourth quarter, and he missed both of them. And one look was wide open, the other one wasn't. And both times he missed, I saw LeBron James duck his head both times. And, you know, obviously LeBron can be frustrated, but that type of stuff, you know, your teammates feel that.
Yeah, And I think one of the times, like, I think the first miss is okay. The second one, I want to say he might have had Kyle Korver or some other Cavaliers player open for a shot.
Yeah, he could have made – yeah, if he hadn't made the extra pass, Kyle Korver was open.
And I think that's, you know, the kind of stuff that angers LeBron, especially when you're not, you know, a super consistent player, and Korver's been doing this for a long time. But worst Celtic tonight, who needs to step up for the Celtics?
I'm going to say Terry Rozier, and only because he had a poor shooting night. You know, 3 of 15 shooting, obviously 20%. You know, 14% from three. Obviously, the 1-3 he had felt like a monumental three at the point in time. He also had just one turnover. But for me, it's just Terry Rozier would probably be the only guy. But even still, you know, when the Celtics play as unified as they did and one guy has an off night, especially when Marcus Smart has a really positive night, it doesn't even hurt them at all.
Yeah, Rozier, I think, you know, like you said, just the shooting numbers, probably the same thing for Jaylen Brown. You know, he missed a lot of makeable shots, a lot of makeable threes. And obviously you like him being aggressive, but I think he needs to knock down some more shots.
I did like him getting to the free throw line, but I agree. I'm also not thrilled, I don't think, with him shooting 8 threes per game. I know that's just kind of how the offense went with him tonight. But I really did like him getting to the line.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that some of the threes, especially at the point where it felt like he was cold, and I kind of get, you know, being aggressive and trying to shoot yourself out of a slump. But at some point when the Cavs just don't have great defense, you need to just drive to the rim and try to get some of those shots. Best Cavalier tonight, if there is one.
I mean, it's going to be LeBron James. And LeBron James' worst night is still the Cavaliers', you know, best player. You know, this game isn't even close or – they're not even in it if LeBron James doesn't have 26 points on 50% shooting.
Yeah, no, obviously LeBron, and by his standards, like we said, it wasn't a great game, especially with the careless turnovers. Other than that, nobody really stuck out. Like you said, Jeff Green had a couple of decent moments when it doesn't really matter. And other than that, you know, I guess like Nance had some good energy, but energy is only so much when your team loses by 13.
Actually, I got it. It was Rodney Hood in his 2 minutes and 53 seconds. He had five points.
He's trying to prove to Ty Lue that he needs some shots. But worse Cav tonight.
I think J.R. Smith is the easy answer. But I'm going to say George Hill. Because I think George Hill has the ability to be more impactful than J.R. Smith.
He has a higher standard, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, we know he's a very good defensive player. I mean, he did okay tonight on his Terry Rozier duties defensively. Obviously, you can tell by the shooting numbers that he obviously did play a factor in that. But he wasn't aggressive offensively. And the Cavaliers, you know, we've been mentioning this all series. You know, they need role players to step up. We know LeBron's going to be there. Kevin Love, you know, he showed an aggressive quarter tonight, but he needs to be the number two. And the role players need to step up. That's the only way this Cavs team can do anything in the playoffs. It's when the role players step up. And I think George Hill has the possibility to be aggressive in the pick and roll. And even Ty Lue said it, I think, after halftime, that George Hill needs to be looking for a shot more.
Yeah, I think George Hill's a guy, obviously, like you said, they need, you know, 12 points from him, 4 or 5 assists. J.R. Smith, though, for me, I think, you know, 0-4, missing a lot of wide open shots and just some really stupid fouls defensively. He just was pretty terrible. You probably can make the argument that every Cavalier needs to step up, including LeBron. Like, and that's not saying LeBron had a terrible game, but by his standards, he needs to be better too. So I think almost every Cavs player could have played better tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavaliers lost by 13. George Hill was minus 21. J.R. Smith was minus 19. Kevin Love minus 23. Thompson minus 15. And Kevin Love minus 11. So obviously those are bigger minuses than what the score is. So none of those guys contributed very much.
Yeah, it felt like the bench had outplayed the starters at certain points in this game. But adjustments for the Cavs going into Game 6?
I mean, is it as simple as make shots? I mean, keep the ball moving. And so, I mean, they miss a lot of wide-open shots. But I want to see other guys get aggressive. You know, move some more off-ball screens. Get guys cutting more. There's still a lot of times where you're watching the Cavaliers, and everyone's standing around waiting for LeBron James to make a play. Guys got to get out there and start making plays.
Yeah, no, it definitely. They need to play harder on both ends of the floor. They need to make shots. They need to probably be a little bit more patient in certain situations. Sometimes they look like they're just looking to hoist up a three. And then physicality-wise, I think the Celtics played harder and more physical than them, and that's something that's going to make you lose a playoff game. And also treat it like it's a big game. Like today was a Game 5, and it didn't seem like the Cavs players knew that.
Yeah, Game 5s are pivotal, especially, you know, it's – as we mentioned, it was 2-2, so – it's a best of three series. and you had the opportunity to take game one of this best of three, and you lost it. And now, you know, the Celtics, who have not lost yet on, at home, they have another home game sitting. And, you know, even if the Cavaliers manage to win game six, you know, they're not going to – it's winning in, you know, TD Garden in a game seven is not going to be an easy task. At least it's not to this point. It doesn't look like it's going to be.
And like we've hinted at before, you know, you could have a game where Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier gets super hot. And obviously at a home court advantage, you're going to get some favorable officiating, especially with a crowd like TD Garden. So that's always something that can hurt. On the Celtics side, going to game six, is it just a matter of playing this way on the road?
I mean, yeah, I would say that, but you got to play better. Even still, you can't play like this on the road. And that I will say, obviously this is a good win at home. But you can't shoot 36% from the field on the road. You're not going to be Cleveland on the road shooting 36%, unless, you know, Cleveland has a bad shooting night like they did tonight. But even still, you know, I think everybody's got to be better. They got to be more efficient. Obviously, they got, you know, a kind of a cop-out with how sloppy the Cavaliers were with the ball and forcing turnovers and getting able to some transitional buckets. But, you know, you got to shoot better, and you have to take advantage of every single miscue on the road.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something they didn't do in this game. I think it easily could have been a blowout at certain points, and they didn't really put their foot on the gas and really close this one out. So I agree. I think they can play better, but I also think, you know, matching the intensity that you play with at home on the road, because we haven't seen this type. You know, the Celtics defense was good tonight, better than what we saw in game three and game four.
For sure. It's ridiculous how these two teams have been impacted by the home crowd.
Yeah, it's remarkable, to be honest. It makes you really think about home court, and then you look at another series, you know, on the other side in the Western Conference Finals, both teams are one-on-one on the road. You know what I mean? So it's like apples and oranges, and it kind of makes it really intriguing for the finals. If, you know, obviously we don't know the matchup yet, but we have an idea. But prediction-wise, who wins game six?
I'm rolling with Cleveland. Just a note, too, Cleveland is 9-0 when they score over 100 points so far in the playoffs. I believe they're going to break 100 in game six. I'm guessing LeBron's going to probably have a 40-point outburst. Hopefully he can get some assistance, but I do believe there's going to be a game seven in TD Garden.
Yeah, I'm going to hop on that bandwagon as well, I think, with two things. You know, the Cavs should win this game at home, like we talked about, the home and road difference, and also LeBron dropping 40. I think he pretty much knows that he has to put up 40 points for them to have a shot, and they're going to need somebody to step up. Is that Kevin Love? Is that George Hill? Is that Tristan Thompson? Like we talked about, maybe we didn't hate on him hard enough. One point, and like you mentioned, the energy wasn't there, one offensive rebounds, and you didn't really feel him this game.
No, I mean, you hit it the nail on the head right there. The best thing he did was not to turn the ball over.
Yeah, I would say he did a decent job on Al Horford. He just seemed to have that matchup in the bag. But other than that, like, it just wasn't really a very impactful game from Tristan Thompson. Obviously, you know, you're expecting a lot of him with the money that he makes. He's not the most talented player, but energy and effort-wise, you need to feel him on the court.
Yeah, and I think Tristan Thompson, too, kind of feeds off the other guys. And when everyone else is dead and LeBron's also tired, I don't think Tristan Thompson can feed himself energy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense. I think he needs everyone else to be up.
He needs there to be some type of positive vibes, and he can kind of build off of that. And I also will throw some shade at Ty Lue, who's done some really nice things in the series adjustment-wise, but, like, it just seems at times he has problems getting guys motivated. Obviously, Kyle Korver only 18 minutes. And I feel like in a game like this, I want to play Osman. Like, he brings energy, and this team showed no energy. Why not give him a couple minutes in the first half?
No, I mean, you definitely could have given him some minutes. I mean, with the way J.R. Smith was playing, you could have given Rodney Hood some minutes. At least I know, understand he's been struggling, but could he have possibly been worse than J.R. Smith tonight?
You could really be worse than J.R. Smith tonight.
Exactly. And the Kyle Korver thing. You know, Kyle Korver has had two back-to-back games in Cleveland where obviously the Cavs lost, but he was arguably still their second-best player, and he was playing well, and then his minutes get cut tonight. And also, we didn't see I think we saw only like 4 or 5 minutes of Kevin Love, Korver, and LeBron on the court at the same time, which doesn't make any sense to me. Those are the three best players on this Cavs roster.
I believe it was almost only a minute from what I saw on Twitter.
And that's ridiculous. And then not to mention, in the fourth quarter, Ty Lue was so late to put Kevin Love in the game.
Yeah, it was definitely a weird game from Ty Lue. And then on the other side in Boston, obviously, Brad Stevens made some adjustments offensively, defensively. Semi Ojeleye didn't play. But that wraps it up for today. As always, thank everybody for listening. You can check out all of our shows on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, and Google Play. Hopefully, we get a better game six. And definitely looking forward to the Western Conference Finals.
When in doubt, watch the Rockets and Warriors.
Yeah, they'll put up more points in a half than these two teams put up in a game.
Amen.